Hello there, and welcome to our podcast, Conversations in Noosa. My name is John Caruso. Now, everyone loves talking real estate, and there's no hotter topic in Noosa than who bought where for what and predicting the next hotspots. The name Don Reed has been associated with the Noosa real estate market for a long time, and Adrian Reed, Don's son from Reed & Co Real Estate, he's my guest on today's podcast. Now, if you own property that you rent out as a holiday rental, or maybe you've had your home listed as an Airbnb, are you aware that there's a potential massive game changer currently being examined by Noosa Council that may stop you from renting your property out as a holiday rental? More on that in this podcast. Also, Adrian talks about the next growth suburb, where the big multi-million dollar sales have happened, and is Noosa a good place for residential property investors when compared to our capital, Brisbane, an hour down the road? That's coming up in this Conversations in Noosa podcast. Now, Sydney and Melbourne dominate the news when it comes to property prices, so we started the pod by discussing if there was any correlation between what's happening in those two markets and what's happening with property prices and sales here in Noosa.
There's always a connection, right? A lot of the buyers coming into our market are transitioning from those markets. So sentiment shifts, definitely. You know, it hasn't translated into a commercial impact in our market. You know, we've got some big underlying drivers that are supporting our local market, and we're yet to see a transacted effect on our marketplace. It's not to say that that's not going to happen, right? It typically has a flow-on effect, and it happens in time. So we're observing, but we're certainly transacting as though our market's running in isolation at the moment.
Can you tell me what effect, if any, this Banking Royal Commission has had as far as lending money to occupiers or investors that are looking at them? I know over the last couple of years, the financial institutes have certainly tightened their belt, haven't they? As far as lending goes.
Yep.
Has there been a loosening up of that kind of policy over the last 6 to 12 months at all?
No, not at all. No. Look, I think that's been one of the real challenges. You know, we've had deals, come together on contract and come apart on finance, and that's kind of the new norm, really. You know, like a finance clause is a really risky one at the moment. And I think one of the real challenges is if you're a upwardly mobile young family, you know, you've been sort of considered commercially capable in the past. You know, the bank's taking a very different look at your spending and your ability to service debt, and that'll have an impact on those young families, I think, and those transitioners potentially that are looking for a big lifestyle change, but all of a sudden have re-geared their financial position. So I think definitely between, I don't know, let's call it 800 to 1.5, which is that sort of family bracket, second, third house, you know, transitioning from another market. Those guys are definitely under a little bit of pressure from the banks. When we jump above that, we tend to find the shift of buyers changes into sort of more self-funded retiree space. They're generally commercially capable. They're often not leveraging anything, right? So, you know, they're cash buyers in most cases. So when you start getting into the sort of prestige end of the marketplace, it actually firms up again. You know, we're not seeing too many blips on the radar there. Occasionally, if there's a commercially capable family that's a $2 million buyer or $2.5 million getting leverage, then they can get a second look from the banks. And then when we jump into the super premium end of the market, then the vast majority of those deals are cash.
Yeah, there's no issue there at all.
No, not at all.
Can we just revisit why the bank initially tightened up their belts in terms of lending?
It's widely sort of known now that the banks were becoming a little irresponsible with their lending, and it was more around borrower's ability to service the debt, right? So, you know, accurately capturing the costs of living effectively and then truly understanding what their serviceability was. And, you know, I guess in an upward trajectory market, the banks have been a little bit looser around that and probably needed to be tightened. You know, they've obviously, there's been a big cultural shift in banks now as well on the back of that, you know. So I think in the past there was lots of commercial incentive for lenders to lend a lot of money, right? And now the culture within those organisations clearly has shifted away from trying to hit a target. But if they've moved into a much more conservative phase of if you don't comply, this will be a major issue for you. So, you know, there's a big cultural shift that's happened there. You know, the role of mortgage brokers going forward, interestingly enough, as one of the outcomes.
Tell me more about that. Like, yeah, is it under threat?
Oh, no question. Industry? Yeah, look, you know, basically it depends on which government gets in, I guess, you know, because we're obviously entering into an election phase as well, which is fascinating on property. So we can talk about that as well. Park that one. We'll come back to it. You know, mortgage brokers do a tremendous proportion of the deals, and the role that they will play going forward is becoming more and more critical because, you know, the reality is that a bank will knock a deal back. The mortgage broker recuts the deal and gets it over the line. So a really good mortgage broker for someone looking to engage, you know, in buying a property, I would encourage them to seek out talent, look at referrals, understand who you're dealing with, and make sure you partner with someone who's extremely capable in that space, because, you know, they're the sort of the new ninjas of, you know, of finance, right? Like, they're the guys that can actually work around the banks, fit your profile to that particular lender, and make sure that you're likely to get that deal away. So yeah, couldn't encourage people more.
Let's have a look at your business, Reed & Co, and then an overview of the market.
So we sell property across the spectrum, from a, you know, $400,000, you know, investment unit in a resort, right through to, you know, family homes in Taunton and prestige waterfront property, you know, beachfront property in Sunshine Beach. So our spectrum is quite broad. Our team is, you know, we've got a great team. They're capable of sort of supporting buyers, you know, families finding new homes, retirees making major lifestyle changes. So it is it's difficult to nail down there. It depends on the stock that we're listing, ultimately, as to, you know, the buyers that we're dealing with. We have a very high market share in prestige waterfront property, and that's ultimately, you know, a space that we've carved out over a number of years, and so we do tend to spend quite a bit of time dealing in that space.
What can you tell me statistically about the number of listings that you have now compared to, you know, say last year and the year before?
You know, we're carrying quite a decent stock level. I'll talk more specifically about a micro market like Noosa Waters as an example, and we can sort of reach out a little bit more broadly than that. But traditionally, we'd about 10% turnover in that marketplace, 440 waterfront homes, 40 odd sales a year. You know, that's been trending down over the last couple of years to a point now that it's down to about 6% stock turnover in a year. So it's 32 sales in 2018 versus 41, I think, from the previous year. So the shift has actually come from a couple of different things. What we're actually seeing in Noosa is a macro shift, which is people that are moving into Noosa are moving in as permanent occupants. So holiday homes or homes that have been used, you know, during winter months or whatever their purpose was, or they've been rented, or they've been investment property, are switching into being permanent positions. And when that happens, then the rate of turn slows a little bit. So we're seeing less stock on market going forward, less choice for buyers. That also means much more challenging for people that are trying to transition out of a home into another home because there's less choice.
Yeah.
So there's like a little ratcheting effect that really clamps up the marketplace, and that's the new world order. You know, I don't expect that to change. You know, I think that's the environment that we will be in, which is one of sort of scarcity, slightly less choice, in favour of the seller, and sort of a challenging environment for the buyer. It will either push prices up in a good market, and in a market where there's other factors that are trying to pull the market back, it'll sustain the market. Yeah. So what we see in Noosa is, you know, it's become a much more sustainable property marketplace. You know, if you go back 10 years ago and look at the, you know, as it sort of accelerated into the in the pre-GFC period and post-GFC, like, it was a very speculative market. You know, people were buying into this marketplace based on the, you know, the high levels of growth, and a lot of that purchase power obviously coming out of southern markets and different things, but they were never intending on immediate use as permanent residency, right? So then when the market softened, those guys had to peel out, and the market got punished pretty heavily. Yeah. So, you know, but if you look at the last 10 years of buying into our market, you know, the vast majority of those have been for permanent positions.
Yeah. And you mentioned that they were homes that had been used as a rental during winter, et cetera. Mm. So you're telling me that a lot of those are Victorians, New South Welshmen who have decided to, you know what, we're going to make the move permanently.
Yep.
And that house that we have as a rental,
yep,
we're moving into
they flip it into their permanent position, or they go, okay, great, well, you know, let's release that particular property in that market and buy another one and make that our permanent position because we'll upgrade and make it our home. You know, the big difference in a major property downturn, and not too many people are calling this, but I think in a major property downturn, we would expect to see people release, if they've got two homes and one's in Sydney and one's in Noosa and they're a self-funded retiree, this time around, they'll sell the one in Sydney.
Yeah.
And they'll keep the one in Noosa. And that's a big shift from 10 years ago, because 10 years ago they were in industry. They weren't retired. You know, they were holding a holiday house in Noosa, and when it came to paying the school fees and keeping things afloat,
they'll sell that one.
They'll sell the Noosa property. Yeah. But 10 years on, life's changed, and the market's changed, the demographics have changed, the dynamics have changed. And so it actually just gives us so much more confidence going into a tougher market environment nationally. It's a really robust, sustainable marketplace now, and probably far more sustainable than it was in a previous cycle. And we're seeing that now because despite the sort of softening sentiment from southern buyers, you know, the results that we're getting are records for streets, records for suburbs, records for, you know, for particular homes. And
because of the reasons you just spoke
about.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
When it comes to the high-end market, I saw there on the report, was it an $18 million sale at Sunshine Beach?
Yeah, there's been a couple of big sales on the beachfront.
$14
million? Yeah, 14, 18. You know, we got one at 10 away over on the North Shore at 312 TY Beach Road. And then there was another great 10 that we're involved in on Wyuna. So yeah, look, there's the once the sort of 10s fell, it turned into 14s and 15s. It's and then yeah, obviously 18, which is a tremendous property on the beachfront and Webb Road. So yeah.
for a house of that price, Adrian, are these owner occupiers or are these people that have bought it and they're putting some holiday makers in the luxury home?
No, that's a personal use holiday home. The one in Webb in particular, a lot of the sort of the top end of that marketplace is expat buyers. Australians, they're generally Australian citizens, had been living abroad for some time, 10, 15 years in Asia, something like that, and coming out of tech industry, finance, and they're looking to, grab a bolt hold here in Noosa, with the view that they may end up, using it as a permanent residency, I guess, over time. But ultimately, there's also a desire to come and visit Noosa because it's so beautiful, and having a prestige luxury home here is not all bad, I guess. Right. And especially if you've got an international airport coming at 2020 that you can just pop down and spend a long weekend here and fly home again.
Right, let's move away from those big ticket homes that we're just talking about. If someone walks through your door and says, look, I'm looking, I want to do residential investment and get a place where I can put a tenant in and hold it long term. Now, the first, if you kind of examine this area a little bit, you want to look for an economic driver where there's a lot of jobs, infrastructure, public transportation, a home, a school and all this. And so your first thought for 20-somethings or 30-somethings, probably 30-somethings, family that want to buy their first investment place, the first thought would be Brisbane. And they go, well, that's the economic driver. That's where the population is. If I, do my homework, I can work out where the infrastructure and the transportation, the hospital and the school and all that is. Is Noosa a good place? And are there, not necessarily bargains, but is it a good place for a residential investor to examine if he wants to go down that path or she wants to go down that path?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. There's lots of reasons to buy into this Noosa market, whether it's a permanent residency because you're making a lifestyle change,
or for investment,
or you're investing into a property for yield. And the truth is, if you're a renter in this market, there's not much choice. Occupancy rates on rentals are very, very high. And yields in Noosa are some of the highest that we'll see. So yes, I think always when you're investing into an investment property, I like to look at two drivers, right? You're looking for long-term capital growth, and then you're looking for, your immediate yield. So you need to get a little sweet spot between those two things. And you're quite right. Like the drivers of close to school, close to development, hub, restaurant areas. Yeah.
What would you see as an economic driver apart from tourism for the Noosa area? Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting one. It's shifting a little bit, isn't it? So I think tourism is obviously the backbone of our economy. I think we are seeing like little tech development. We're seeing obviously property makes up a big portion of what we do. But we've got a shared office space in our as part of our office, and we've got some amazing emerging thriving businesses that are operating out of our space. And So some of that's in tech and some of that's in tourism and some of that's in, we've got, bloggers and all sorts of different stuff, it's
podcasters.
Yeah, podcasters. Yeah. So I think, look at, marketing keynote speakers that travel the country, but base themselves here in Noosa. So look, the tyranny of distance has been broken. right? That's the reality. Technology's allowed that.
Global citizens now.
Yeah, global citizens, yeah. Right? So it ultimately means you can be the head of a thriving, you know, organization and be in that organization when required, but out of and running that organization when you want to be. And that's a huge shift. And the champions of that are looking for places like Noosa and Byron that have got, you know, great travel. You know, you move quickly from your principal place of residence back to your principal place of work, and it delivers against your lifestyle requirements. So Noosa's at top of the list, you know, for that. Absolutely.
Well, lifestyle, there's no question.
No question whatsoever. That's right. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, look, we're seeing it all over the place at the moment.
All right. Yep. Let's a couple of hypotheticals, and then I'd like to get your input on where you would suggest they look and why. Mm-hmm. So first of all, family, say mum and dad, couple of kids, mm-hmm. looking at buying or upgrading, you know, home around the $400,000 to $800,000 mark or $900,000, wherever.
Yep.
And they walk through your door there at Reed & Co. and they say, where should we start looking?
Yeah, look, my first answer to that is understanding the needs a little bit more, but I really like Taunton. I think it's to me, it feels a little undervalued.
It's overlooked, hasn't it?
Oh, it's a bit undervalued. Yeah, look, I think one of the things, like it's always good to look retrospectively at what has like supercharged growth in particular areas, and, you know, whether it be in Noosa or in other areas. But one of the things I've observed, I think, in the last 10 years is Noosaville as a precinct has developed significantly. And if you look at the prices and the, you know, within the hub of Noosaville, they've far exceeded the growth of any other market in Noosa. Right, and it's been on the back of that little precinct becoming so desirable to be close to. What we do know is that in Taunton, that precinct or the little village is developing quickly. Things are changing there. It's been relatively kind of not stagnant, but it's been chugging away slowly for a long time. But, you know, you've got Zabe and you've got great food now, and it's a little bit of entertainment, and the whole little, there's a great feeling around that strip of shops. And I think, you know, the services that get provided from that hub will stimulate the growth of the market that is immediately attached to that. So I always look for those. What are the, you know, heavily stimulated little commercial precincts? And then do they contribute to the lifestyle? And if that's the case, then try and get as close to that as you can.
So what you're saying is Taunton is benefiting from that flow-on effect from that Gympie Terrace little precinct there in Noosaville.
No question. We've seen it happen in Gympie Terrace. You know, it gentrified it. You know, it offered great service and the market absolutely flew on the back of it, faster than any other market in Noosa. And then we're seeing that now in Taunton. So that market, if you look at that street and you spend some time there, you can understand that that's a vibrant marketplace. So my answer to the question is, you know, I like Taunton. I like Taunton for growth. I like Taunton for families. And I like Taunton for that price range. And I really, in particular, like Old Taunton. If you follow all of the streets that sort of that nurture the river, that sort of, you know, meander along the river, like Miles and Gympie, they're all classic streets. Ward, you know, George, they're fantastic streets. And I like all of that Old Taunton area, particularly like the eastern side of and the river side of Merindal Street in particular. You know, there's some great classic homes in there. Yeah. And you know, in those really good positions, you can get views of the river and all sorts of stuff. It's undervalued.
And median house price and median unit price in Taunton?
Median house price, it's seen some significant growth. I don't actually have the numbers right in front of me, but ultimately it's been in some very strong growth, linear growth for the last 5 years. Yeah, unit market, we don't sort of take too much time in Taunton. There's not a huge volume of unit market in Taunton, but certainly houses in that Old Taunton area. Look, you know, if you're a buyer in that market between 700,000 and 900,000, you're going to end up in a really nice little house.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm a couple in my late 60s, or maybe early 70s. I've retired. I'm from Sydney, and I've walked through the front doors there at Reed & Co. And I'm looking at a place, you know, where I can settle. I mean, lifestyle's important to me now. I might, you know, join a local bowls club or something like that. Again, where and why?
It depends a little bit on your price range. I think Noosa Waters and the waterfront offers a phenomenal lifestyle. You know, the fact that you can be waterfront and, you know, 10 minutes from the river and walking distance to the Noosaville precinct that we spoke about, you know, that has been right on the top of the shopping list of the sort of retiree movers from southern markets. And if it's not a bigger home on the waterfront, then then pushing tighter into the precinct has been the desire. So the duplex properties, standalone or duplex properties close to the village has been right up on the top of the shopping list for people. And, ultimately they'll be paying somewhere between $1.5 million and nearly $2 million for a really good duplex in tight to the precinct now.
All right. Now, purely selfish reasons, I haven't heard you mention any kind of rural property out Doonan or Verydale. Yeah. Who's buying those properties?
Doonan's flying. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Did you say flying?
Yeah, flying.
Really?
It's been one of the...
I did have a look at that median house price around the million point.
Yeah, million point and 24% growth in the last year. So it's, Doonan's an interesting one. It tends to follow Noosaville, Noosa Heads. Right. So Noosaville, Noosa Heads run, and then about 6 months, 9 months later, Doonan really sort of follows on. It can have a little bit more of a tail too. It can kind of rumble on for a little bit longer, even after Noosaville, Noosa Heads start to soften off a little bit. So the buyers that are coming into that market are similar. They're tree changes, not sea changes, but they're moving into that market for a lifestyle change. They're trying to exit from, a busy lifestyle, whether it be in Sydney or Melbourne and congested and all of those things. And they're coming out into that sort of convenient rural location for the serenity, the peace, the quiet, and just a little bit of breathing space. There's some just absolutely superb property in and around Doonan, Timbiwa. Wyber Downs is one that I think is undervalued. That's a pocket there close to Wyber Lake, which I think is gorgeous. And when you're down there, so yeah, there's lots of little pockets there that will continue to see really strong growth. I think
we won't worry about the squillionaires with a lot of cash. We know where they're going. They're going to Sunshine or right there on Hastings Street.
Yeah, Noosa Sound. Yeah.
Let's have, and I don't want to put you on the spot because I know there's a lot of things happening over the next 12 months. There's an election coming up. There's been a lot of talk. Although, you hear all this talk about the franking credits and the negative gearing, and I think that really only affects
small portion.
It's a small portion of people, really, isn't it? I don't know why it's an election issue.
Yeah, big topic, small portion of people. Look, I think it's, mind you, that it's a growing part of the population that affects, right? So, it depends on whether or not a change of government gets like a really clear mandate. It could be hung and, there could be no changes for the next 4 years, True. So it really depends on whether there's real clarity, by voting, whether or not there's going to be a big mandate change. So, look, it's always so difficult. We generally don't speculate too much on what could change.
But what can you predict or foresee for the Noosa market, say, over the next 12 to 24 months?
If we drill down into Noosa, the things that are very topical from our property market perspective are the proposed changes to the town plan. That's a really interesting one that if you're a property owner in Noosa, you want to get right across right now.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah, there's a whole sweeping sort of set of proposals that have just been issued. So, look, I think the big one that seems to be picking up quite a bit of airplay at the moment, I think it's important for people to know about, is there's proposed changes around short-term holiday letting. And where you can do that and when you can't do that.
You're talking about people that are listing like on an Airbnb?
Yeah, Airbnb. Or it could be a holiday rental through one of the agencies that run holiday rentals. Or it could be an owner running it through Airbnb or a host, running it through Airbnb. But that may be in an area now that's been proposed as not gazetted for short-term holiday rental. So there's a proposal that they will have a choice, or the council will determine whether you can use your property for short-term letting or permanent letting.
What's the catalyst for that? Why would council want to drive that through?
Look, there's a few reasons. There's affordable housing issues. There's not much rental choice at the moment. There's overlays from the strategic drivers from the state government. There's a disgruntled base in areas that are being hammered by short-term holiday rental, impacting their peace and serenity of their life. So especially if they're poorly managed. So I think there's a management issue around short-term holiday renting, and there's an arbitrary solution that's being sort of offered up by council.
Is this happening in other places like Byron? It is. So it's not it's not a unique
No, that's right. And they're looking at other markets and going, okay, how have you handled this? And we'll try and deploy the same thing. So, right through to Sydney, So yeah, there's always tension around permanent residence and short-term holiday stay, because often people are there for a good time, not a long time, and that, you know, it's not how you would live if you were there every day, you know. So I think there's definitely it's a good opportunity for the community to have a really robust conversation about it, because if you're a property owner, you know, and I hold property in Noosa Waters on the waterfront, and I go, all right, well, I think that personally, I would prefer the option to holiday let my property. Yeah. You know, whether I deploy that or not, I want that to be my choice. Now, it's my responsibility as an owner that I manage that very effectively and I don't impact the people that live around my property. But I'd want the choice, especially commercially, if I thought it was going to be, you know, a positive outcome for my, you know, for me. I also think that property values can get significantly impacted if you exclude investment buyers that are looking to holiday let.
True.
A lot of the people we talk to that come into the market go, oh, yeah, look, I don't have an
idea. Are they aware of these possible changes?
Yeah, not too many are now. You know, we have to have really frank conversations with them, like, this could change, you know. Yeah. But the conversation that we're having quite frequently is, oh, look, you know, I'm not making an immediate move to Noosa, but I've got a 3-year plan to exit Sydney and Melbourne.
I want to rent it out as a holiday place.
Yeah, and I want to use it, you know, so I want to be able to come up here with my family at Easter and, you know, really, you know, get everyone into the groove. And you know, when I'm not using it, it'd be great to get some income out of it. You know, what's the holiday rental yield on that particular property? And often it'll make it stack up, and they'll buy now, not later. You know, so, you know, if you're a seller, 8 out of, if there's 2 out of 10 of those buyers that are holiday investment buyers, you drop 2 out of 10 out of the competition of that property, and all of a sudden it'll impact the property value.
How do you think that's going to pan out? I mean, have you heard from people, knowing that you're a real estate agent, you work in the business, that go, do you know what, I'm actually against this Airbnb? Oh. You do?
Yeah, absolutely. There's owners on
who
the waterfront
are quite cranky
that are,
about it.
Oh, they'd be ropeable. But there's also the flip side to that, right? Which is the polar opposite, which is the someone that's had to live next to a holiday rental for the last 5 years that are just cheering because they're like, this is the champion, you know, that they're championing me and the pain that I've been in, you know, for the last, you know, X amount of time with this holiday rental next to me. So I think, you know, it's very polarizing. You know, you've got those that are.
How do you reckon it's going to pan out?
You know, there's a division in my family around it, right? Like, Dad's very much like, this could be good for property value on the waterfront if they don't holiday let here, because it makes it more attractive for people to want to live here permanently. And they may pay more because of it, right? Like, you know, and that's the robust discussion that happens, right? And you know, you don't get any more experience than him. So, you know, and we, you know, I can speak from experience. Like, I grew up in Noosa Sound on the waterfront, and we, you know, we're getting inundated, you know, with holiday houses that are across from us, and the peace and the serenity from living there as a permanent resident fell away, and ultimately desirability to be there fell away in time. So, and that happens, you know, and ultimately it's probably one of the drivers many years ago to move, you know, moving to Noosa Waters when it was developed. It's like, hey, it's residency.
Well, when do you expect a decision from council?
There's a three-month period out now for review. Okay. And I think submissions have to be, don't quite remember, but I think it's the 20th of May that they close. So it's a decision that, or it's certainly a topic that if you're an owner, you want to get your head around and understand and have a firm view. And if you're for it, then good, you know, make your voice heard, and if you're against it, then you know you really need to be active.
It sounds like a significant game changer if you're in the industry, and you're right. I mean, a lot of people do view, and we were talking about that before, you know, they grab a place here as a holiday rental or investment opportunity. They may not be ready to move from Sydney or Melbourne right now, but they want to holiday, you know, rent it out. But it's also a lifestyle. I mean, it opens up a lot of lifestyle opportunities for you and your family to holiday.
Yeah.
If you have that Airbnb ability to put someone in your house, covers the airfares or whatever while you travel across Europe. Yeah, so it's an interesting one.
Look, absolutely. Hot debate, and it should be, right? Like I say.
But you're right. I don't think a lot of people are aware of what's currently happening. I mean, I wasn't unaware of what was happening within Noosa Council.
Yeah, look, it's really interesting too, because the way they've sort of pitched it is I just don't know. I hope people sort of see through it, because they're basically saying that if it's not gazetted for holiday letting, you know, you have an option to submit, you know, effectively a DA, material change of use, to change it into holiday letting. But you know, if anyone that's dealt with Noosa Council, you know, on changing the material use of an area, you know, submitting a submission that's not in line with the town plan and think they're going to get that through, like, you know, I can tell you you're up against it, you know. So the likelihood is you'll end up in the Land Environment Court trying to turn it over instead of getting Noosa Council to, you know, to sort of see a change to their town plan. So, yeah, look, you know, the avenue for if it got rolled out and changed, and you really desperately wanted a holiday let your property, and it wasn't in an area that was gazetted for holiday letting, I honestly think you'd be up against it.
I hope you enjoyed that podcast. Adrian Reed was my guest today from Reed & Co. Real Estate, born and bred Noosarite. Adrian and his family, his dad, Don. Hope you enjoyed that. Please rate and review the podcast and feel free to share the podcast about on your social media channels. Until next time, take care.